Good evening, friends. Welcome to the sixth night of revivals. Feels like that went really fast. How does it feel for you, Gene? Okay. Sounds good. Well, I was pretty excited to hear when Brother Eugene said that he was feeling led to have a time of sharing and things like that tonight. Yeah, I think it'll be a blessing to us, and I'm looking forward to it. So he said he's going to try to keep it pretty short, so I'll keep my devotional short as well. And we'll just look at a couple verses related to sharing as a congregation and some things like that. So let's first look at Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll read verses 25 and 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So first I'd like to look at verse 25. And this verse clearly encourages us to not neglect or abandon the practice of doing this, what we're doing right now. And we need to get together to worship and praise God, but I think we also need to get together to fellowship and do what Gene's hoping to do tonight, and share and edify each other. To exhort means to strongly encourage or to urge somebody to do something. So I think a time like tonight can be an opportunity for us to encourage each other in our faith. And then let's back up to verse 24. And that encourages us to pay attention to each other and consider what, in this case, maybe what we're sharing. Can what we're sharing tonight encourage us to love each other with a selfless love? And obviously Jesus is a perfect example of what selfless love is, giving his life for us on the cross. And we're called to imitate that, but not only to love, but also to do good works in verse 24. So I think when we're exposed to the positive influence of Christians around us who are living a life for Christ, they can encourage us to carry out deeds and actions that are pleasing to God and also beneficial to others around us. So overall, I think these two verses in Hebrews here emphasize the importance of considering each other and getting together regularly as believers to encourage each other in our faith and good works, especially as it says here, we're waiting the return of Christ. And so we know this world isn't going to last forever. And we know we're not always going to be here. So let's make sure we take the opportunities we have to get together and encourage each other. Let's take a look at Psalm 107, the 107th Psalm. And I'll read verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Amen?
Amen.
All right. His mercy endures forever. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I think this is a pretty common thought when we think about getting together for times of testimony or sharing. It's good to give thanks to the Lord for the good things that he's done for us. Verse 1 emphasizes two attributes of God, his goodness and his everlasting mercy. And the phrase, for his mercy endureth forever, is repeated multiple times throughout this psalm. And it's just a good reminder to us that God's mercy, it's not just a short one-time thing, but it's continuing, and it says it's everlasting. Verse 2, who are the redeemed? I think it's those who have been saved or rescued by God. And what have they been redeemed from? I think we've been redeemed from the power of sin and Satan and the things that come with that, physical, spiritual, and emotional bondage. Those are all things we've been redeemed from. And what are the redeemed called to do in verse 2? They're called to say so. So if you felt the goodness and the mercy of God in your life, and if you've been saved from the power of Satan and the bondage of sin, say so. So testify about God's redemption in your life. That's what we're called to do in Psalm 107. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So Brother Eugene mentioned earlier this week that we all have problems. Some problems are much bigger than other problems, but I think no matter what the size of the problem is, if it's your problem and you're in the middle of it right now, it's big. You know, they seem to seem really big to us. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes people around us will notice the problem that we're having or the struggle that we're going through. And then the question is, as a Christian, is our faith and our hope obvious in that time of struggle and hardship? And this verse says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. So if you're exuding hope, be ready to tell people why. That's what this verse is saying right here. To close this devotional, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 9 to 11. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And verse 11 is what I'd really like to take a look at here. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So I hope you feel prepared for a time of sharing. It's not always easy to get things started, but I think Brother Eugene will do a good job in leading us in this. And when we come together in God's love and with a spirit of compassion for our group of people here, I think we can support each other through our testimonies, and also we can glorify our Creator God. So, Brother Eugene, you ready to get started? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. Thank you so much for your plan of salvation, for sending Jesus to die here on the cross so that we can live with you in heaven one day. I think of Sister Karina, who has left us and just also left us with an amazing example of happiness and longing for what she knew was coming. And Lord, I just pray that us as a congregation, that we could live in a way that we could one day meet Karina again and just be with you in heaven. And Father, I pray now for Brother Eugene as he leads us in this time of sharing and testimony and whatever he feels you're leading him to do here tonight. I thank you for everything he's done this week for us. Just bless you that his voice is still strong and that he's able to teach. And yeah, just pray a special blessing on us as a congregation that we could be willing to share what's on our hearts and be vulnerable, and just that this time could edify us and lift us up as a congregation, and that we could glorify you this evening. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Well, good evening. You're pretty bold to come out tonight, not knowing what to expect. And I would just correct one statement. Dean, right? Your name? The dean made. Looking to Gene to guide the service, but that is not really my plan. It's the Holy Spirit. And if I can just stay out of his way, he can do something. So my goal is to stay out of his way and let him work. But let's stand first, shall we? Together, stand first and quietly worship the Lord in our hearts, a time of rejoicing and repenting and praising God. So let's do it quietly right now between you and the Lord. Come, gracious spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our God and thou our guide over every thought and step preside. O'er every thought and step preside. The light of truth to us display, and make us know and choose thy way. Plant
Would you be free? Father, we thank you tonight for this wonderful privilege to worship you. You are here with us right now, Lord, and I thank you for your presence. God, in your presence, there is peace and joy, and there is love and compassion. There is forgiveness, and there's strength, there's grace. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for this time just to worship you and to encourage each other. Father, tonight, may you be in charge of this entire service. And those who are afraid to speak, may you just give them boldness and encouragement, Lord. Anything you've told them and they've been blessed to give you praise for and testify about it, Lord. Any special need to have prayer, God, we're here to pray for each other, to help each other to walk this pathway. We are your brotherhood. We are your church, members one of another. We care about each other. We love each other, Lord. We care about our loads, our burdens, our concerns, and want to share those and help carry them. Lord, tonight, I pray you be in charge of this whole entire service. May you be glorified and we blessed. And put your hedge of protection around this building right now that the enemy cannot in any way hinder the work of your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for us to just imagine God is here. You look around, you can't see him, but he's here. And let's just think that he's right here in front here, standing here, and he is just waiting for you to praise him. So what are you thankful for? You want to praise God for, what do you want to praise him for tonight? Anyone? Yes. Okay. If you want to give a testimony tonight of any length, we have a portable mic. So raise your hand, and so we can all hear real well, and even on the recording. So thank you, brother. All right. But let's just, in short here, what are you thankful for? Life. What life?
Eternal life.
Okay. And both, this life too, right? Both lives, right. Eternal life mainly. Exactly. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
I'm thankful for the brotherhood here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And I'm thankful for your presence. It's been a gift every night to me just to see you here. Just your presence is a gift to each other. Anyone else?
Brother Eugene, I'm thankful for your voice.
Amen.
And where's the sickness this weekend? Yeah. And you said last night your tummy was churning.
It was, and I almost vomited. I felt that. I do get warm and sweat. Can I shed my coat? It's supposed to be an informal evening. I stand back with my coat on and I was sweating. I just sweat very easily. So thank you for the freedom to do that. Okay. Anyone else?
Family.
Family. Amen. Amen. Springtime. Flowers peeping out, crocuses, daffodils, red buds, whatever, it's beautiful.
We're thankful our daughter is doing better. She was sick this week.
Very good. Well, she's smiling. That's wonderful. Hey, they're a blessing.
Friends.
Amen. You know, when you have friends, you're rich, really. Many friends make you rich. There are a lot of lonely folks out there that have no friends and no family. A lot.
She says she's thankful for camping.
She's thankful for camping. She's my type of girl. That's good. I love camping too. Yeah, that's good. You're thankful for?
I'm thankful Sister Karina is home in heaven.
Yes, Sister Karina's home in heaven. And no more worries and problems. Yep. Amen. Free of all that. She's probably rejoicing with my mom and dad up there. Yep.
I'm thankful for the assurance of salvation.
Amen. The assurance. No doubt. We're safe in God's hands. Secure. Mm-hmm. You thankful for God? Okay, our sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful for His daily presence every moment of the day.
Amen. Amen. His presence every moment. That's security. That's comfort. Our shepherd, you know, we're in His sheepfold. He takes care of us, meets every need. Amen. Okay. Thank
for
what?
For good food.
Good food. Hey, I agree 100%. For good food. Amen. That's wonderful. We're blessed.
Power in the blood.
Amen. I think about the blood that was shed on the doorposts of the children of Israel. The death angel passed by and couldn't touch anyone in that building. And I think it's the same picture of us today. The blood of Christ protects us. Satan can't control us. And I thank God for that. Amen. Power and blood. Okay. Let's go on to the next one here. If you have a testimony that you want to give tonight, that God did a work in your life this week, and you want to thank the Lord for that and just share it with the church to bless people. Have a mic back here. You raise your hand and we'll just pass the mic around to let you share what's on your heart. Even a prayer request, a burden you may have, we can pray for you. But let's open the service up and just mind the Holy Spirit and just do what God tells you to do and be obedient. Anyone, you raise your hand.
I was studying a Sunday school lesson this morning. I was looking for verses that talked about a changed heart and how we can have a changed heart, a pure heart. Our heart can be pure and different from the world. And I came across one which you mentioned, I think, every night. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
One thing that's been mentioned here at Rollinsville Regular, a big problem with living sacrifices is the way they won't stay on the altar. They keep crawling off. But living we want to present our bodies the kind of living sacrifice that stays. And verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed.
Amen.
And that's the thing that's going to keep us there on the altar, serving God. Transformed Amen. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Amen. So if you crawl off the altar, you're going to die daily.
Yeah.
Re-die again. Die daily, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every morning I say, God, just I need your spirit, you know, a new filling every morning. I ask for that.
Okay, my wife has a little testimony about the neighbor girl. Many of you know the Trubies. Many of the people here know the Trubies. And their little girl, Emma Lou, had a miracle take place in her body.
For those that don't know, Emmy Lou will be 8 in a week and a half. She's had a central line underneath her skin. She's also had a trach to be vented. And she's also needed daily enemas since she was a few months old. And the doctor at DuPont is Dr. Consolini, and she is a lesbian and not ashamed of it and basically ungodly. I will spell one word here tonight, not that it's a bad word, but some of the younger ones might think it sounds kind of cool and it sticks in her mind, and so I'll probably spell it. About a month ago, one morning, Emmy Lou told her mother, she said, Mommy, Jesus healed me. And Oakley was like, what do you mean? She said, last night, I saw a man in black with red eyes. And Oakley's like, well, you didn't call me. What did you do? She said, I just said the name Jesus, and it went away. Wow. And Jesus said, I know your name, and I've healed you. And she's gotten TPN feedings occasionally lately through her central line, but she's needed her vent at night to sleep. And like I said, she's needed her daily enemas. So, and Emmy Lou said, I want you to tell Dr. Consolini. So Oakley didn't right away. She didn't know how to tell Dr. Consolini. That night, when it was bedtime, Emmy Lou was like, I don't need to be vented tonight. So Oakley has different monitors because of all the health problems, and I think it was a pulse, something for pulse and something for oxygenization, and she might even have a heart monitor, but she hooked Emmy Lou up to all her monitors that she has and stuck her in bed between her and Rusty. She slept fine all night. Her oxygen levels were higher than they've ever been. So this went on, and she also told her mommy, she said, I don't need my TPNs, I don't need to be vented, and I can POOP myself now. And sure enough, her bowels started working, and so then Emmy Lou said, Mommy, have you told Dr. Consolini? No. She'd ask her different times, and finally Emmy Lou said, Mommy, you're a liar. And she's like, why? Well, you haven't told Dr. Consolini. She's like, I don't know what to tell her, how to tell her, but I'll email her because that's the way you have to check or contact her. So then the next morning, Emmy Lou said, Mommy, did you contact Dr. Consolini? No, but I will right now. What shall I tell her? Tell her that Jesus healed me. So Oakley typed in, Emmy Lou says, Jesus healed me. Call me to discuss further. That afternoon, Dr. Consolini called, and Oakley related the story, and Dr. Consolini's like, wow. Oh, wow. I'm not sure what else the conversation was. This past Thursday, a week ago, the three little girls had their checkups at DuPont, just a routine checkup. And Oakley thought Emmy Lou was going to tell Dr. Consolini herself. And they got down there, and she wouldn't say anything. And Oakley said to Emmy Lou, don't you have something to tell Dr. Consolini? And she whispered to her mother, no, she already knows. So anyhow, they got done with the checkup, and Dr. Consolini slid her glasses down her nose and came over and looked straight at Emmy Lou and said, do you have something to tell me? Emmy Lou was quiet for a little bit. And then she said, I'm not afraid of you anymore. Jesus knows my name.
Wow.
Dr. Consolini has been emailing some with Oakley right now, asking why she was afraid of her. Said maybe it's because of all her doctor's appointments over these years and everything you've done to her. But I wonder how much of it maybe was some spiritual warfare there. But a whole month has passed. Emmylou has not had her TPNs. She has not been vented at night, and she is excreting herself. It's just a total miracle.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's, those of you who know the situation, let's pray a little bit for this situation. Someone lead out in prayer for continued blessing on this healing and testimony.
Lord, I want to thank you for your miracle of healing on Emmylou. Thank you for the change it's made in her family, that they can see you working. Thank you for the Dr. Consolini can see this and can see your work in her life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we're trusting you for your continued miracle and healing there, and that you can draw this family to yourself, that they can be in your church and drawn to you and see you working in their lives every day.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Time keeps moving. We'll have to keep. Raise your hand. Anyone want to share something? Yes, back here. Okay.
Just, we talked about the power of prayer last night, so just really pray for our family. Grandma's passing is hitting some of us really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So just especially pray that it would be a unifying experience.
Amen. Amen. Your dad's not here, is he? Okay. So I'd have two brethren go back and put your hand on our brother back here to pray for him and the family. Two volunteers, go back and put your hand on the brother and pray for him, for the family. Use the microphone so we can hear you real plainly. And as you pray, bow our heads.
Father, thank you for the example that Karina left us.
Amen.
And Lord, I just pray that you would be especially near the Reeser family and the Stauffer family. Just lift them up to you, and just help them to remain strong.
Amen.
And I pray that this experience would not be something that tears the family down, but instead would unite them and just give them fond memories of Karina, and just be especially near our brother Philip. And thank you for who he was to Karina, and just all the times that he was willing to bring her to church and just be a blessing to her. I know Karina said a bunch of times that Philip's a good grandson. And Lord, I just praise you for that, and just bless Philip for who he is, and bless the Reeser family in your name.
Dear Lord, we thank you for Karina and who she was, and how she showed you and your love to everyone around her. We thank you, Lord, that she's with you now, and it's hard to lose someone, see them go, and not be like them. But Lord, I pray that for John and Sharon, Philip, Trudy, everyone else in the family, the memory of Karina would stay strong, and that the memory would encourage them and draw everyone together. This passing would be a strengthening experience for all of them, and for all of us here. It's on your name.
Amen. Hey, anyone else? Cave here. Right here.
I was blessed and challenged with the message about prayer last evening, and especially the verse that says pray without ceasing, and the thought of praying in faith. And I have some nieces and nephews that walked away from the Lord, and I was just challenged to keep the burden of prayer in my heart for them. And along that line of thinking, I was wondering if we could sing a song in the Life Songs, number 155, I Am Praying You.
Okay. All right. Brother, you want to read that song? Life Song number
155.
Okay.
I'm going to blow the pitch, and you guys help me with it here.
I have a Savior, he's living in glory.
Time just goes way too fast. It's 20 after already. I promised you we'd shut it, close down a quarter after, so I love this time of sharing. I just hate to stop it, but anyway. Anybody else, you want to say something else yet before we close? Yes, okay, Larry. Larry, come forward and use this so we can see you and hear you plainly. Okay, that mic is not quite as good as we hear.
Yeah, I like to hear that from you.
Well, you gave us some counsel that we should share what's on our heart. And so I wanted to say how blessed I was by the message last evening about prayer. I was challenged to consider the fact that we need to be persevering in prayer and not giving up. But I have a kind of question to go along with that testimony, the message that I've wrestled through in my life at times. And So I'll use an example of my own, in my own life. We talk about, you know, having faith and such, but what do we do? How do we encourage people that say, well, God didn't answer my prayer, or feel like they didn't, God didn't answer their prayer, and are kind of, are believing that God can answer their prayer and he's able, but doesn't. An example, like in our own life would be our son Preston, that's buried in the graveyard beside the church here. You know, as a young family at 30 years old, I had faith that God could heal him and he could live. And I knew he could, but our prayers weren't answered here on this earth. Now I know we should be, yeah, we're still waiting for, you know, I'll hopefully have opportunity to ask the Lord in glory, what, you know, why not then? But, so I don't know if you understand my question or the situation. So I struggle as to how to counsel people. I mean, me personally, I believe that, you know, we can be thankful for where we're at. You know, we had this account in scripture where, the young boy that was blind was born blind. They said, well, who sinned, him or his parents? And God said, you know, neither. It's for my glory. And so I believe that God does get glory through our grief. So I don't know, maybe you have some examples that in your own life that you might be able to give as far as, or how to encourage those that, I wouldn't say are doubting, but are kind of maybe upset or discouraged by the fact that God's seemingly giving other people things that they're praying for and they don't really want those things. You know, example might be is the thousands of babies that are aborted every day in the United States, and there's loving, God-fearing people that are not able to have bear children and would love children, and God says no. So how does one, I guess the bottom line, my question personally is, how does one encourage ourselves in the fact that, you know, persevere in faith and such as was mentioned last evening? But I know you said you wanted to close, and that's maybe a loaded testimony or question, but yeah. But I did want to say amen to the message. I was blessed. I'm not doubting. I'm not, don't mean to put you on the spot, brother. But that's what I was going through my mind.
Thank you. That is a very tough question. I have a grandson that had brain cancer and fought it for 5 years, and he died at age 13. 12, 13, I think he died, but for 12, 13. Yeah. And so, and we pray for healing. I mean, he looked at, he was improving, had radiation, and he was improving, but he died. And so he's in the grave. And there are some things you can't answer. There's no answer for them. Ultimately, it was God's will that he died. And through all of that, it didn't decrease my faith in God. It just made me trust God more, because God knows what he did. And I just believe him. I just believe that it was best for the family, for us, to experience that. It's something that makes us, I guess, more dependent on God, and to thank him for the short time we had him, you know, the blessing. We don't, if you think about this, we really have no right to anything. Our rights are death, because we all sin. And so to be alive is a miracle and a blessing, because you sinned, I sinned, and that brings death. So our future actually was, you know, we deserve death for everything. So anything that we get is a blessing from God that we don't deserve. Having a child, you know, even a few years, that's a blessing from God. I don't deserve. So when you give God all your rights, then the pain goes away, because what he gives us, we don't deserve for the moment. And we enjoy it for a while and praise God for it. But you tell people, well, you don't even deserve how to live. You know, you sin. And so your future is death if you sin. But God in his mercy spared us. And anything we have is an extra gift from God that we don't deserve. And praise him for that gift. You know, praise God for a few years you had your son there, you know. It was a gift from God. And when he goes, he's God's, not yours, you know. So God has a right to take him, bring him, and take him when he pleases. And he's right to give us children that are handicapped, you know. So God's in control, and anything we have is a gift from God, and enjoy that. When the devil will tell you that, you know, God's mean and God's awful, and
and he took your joy away. No, we didn't deserve a thing, not one thing. That's kind of my comfort. And I can just say, Lord, thank you for the, even my wife, if she would die, Lord, thank you that I had her all these years. You know, it's a gift. I didn't deserve it, but the blessing, thank you. So we can go from there and praise God for what we have, for long we have it. If he takes it away, praise his name. You know, that's my answer. Anyone else? Yes? Yeah. Okay, it's 8:25. Now you raise your hand too, brother. Prayer request, okay? You announce that?
Yes.
What's your prayer request? And her name is?
Her name is Pat.
Pat. She had knee surgery and she can't get around. Okay.
She's depressed.
Depressed. Okay.
All the time.
Okay. Okay. Is she a believer?
I don't think she's made a profession at this point.
She's not professing Christianity? You what?
She talks like she's a Christian.
Okay, okay. Okay, why don't we pray for that request and then have your song in closing? Is that okay? And then we'll close because it's already almost 8:30. So let's just, let's all stand, shall we? If you feel led to pray for this Pat, we have authority in Jesus' name tonight to ask God to protect her, to bring redemption between her and the family, and to remove her mental illness or depression. So we have the authority tonight to do that, to intercede on her behalf. So if you feel it to pray, go ahead and pray, and I'll close. And then we'll have the song, stay standing, have the song, and then we'll close the service. All right? Anyone? Amen. 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 Amen.
Lord, we lift up Pat to you. I pray, Lord, that you would pull her out of this darkness and bring her to your light. And I just pray that you bless the Ryans for
Amen.
Living within her. And I pray that you bless them to reach out to her in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
Pray that your spirit would speak to her and help her to recognize what her exact needs are.
Amen.
And as she come to you
Amen.
For healing,
Amen.
For relationships,
Amen.
And for you as her Savior.
Amen. Amen. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the love that Lawrence and his wife has been showing to Pat. Love is powerful. Use that love, Lord, to touch her heart and give her hope. And then you just give them wisdom to know how to respond to her need. And Lord, tonight we as a body of believers are collectively agreeing that she needs to find deliverance. And we have authority over the enemy, Father. You've given that authority to the church to, with power, to rebuke the evil forces, the forces that would destroy her with mental anguish and depression and hopelessness. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just bring divine healing into her life. First of all, she experienced true salvation. Just a heart that is given to you that you can control her by your spirit. Next, Lord, put your hedge of protection around her right now that the enemy can't defeat her and keep her in this mental bondage. That you would break down the strongholds separating her and her family, her children. Start a work of redemption, Lord. That is your work. Our hope is in you. And you rebuild and restore and renew and revive and redeem. So I pray, God, begin your work right now tonight. Send your Holy Spirit into her life and begin to work in a wonderful way, Lord, that she can feel your presence right now and be drawn to you and just giving everything over to you so you can begin to renew the family and relationships and rebuild their lives. So God, we give her into your hand. You do your work in her life and use instruments like Lawrence and his wife to minister your life to them. So Father, we pray your wisdom upon Brother Lawrence and Anna Marie as they spend time with her and others who might be involved in this ministry. God, give them wisdom, give them grace and proper response to bring release and to bring renewal in Pat's life. We put her into your hand, Lord, tonight. Begin that healing process. I pray in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. Remain standing and we'll have Brother Lee's closing song and then the Lord's Prayer and we're done.
Church hymnal. 467.
Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into the holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Open the to the world.